Amen. Jesus is Lord of all. Great to be in the house of God this morning. Great to see you all here today. Praise the Lord. Many guests visiting with us today. I love it, and I hope you'll keep on coming back. If there's anything you need, let us know. We want you to come and to worship the Lord with us in spirit and in truth. And when you come to the house of God, you're coming in obedience to His Word. He tells us to come and gather together as we worship around the Word of God, as we worship through song and through giving. All of this glorifies God. And so keep on coming. When you come to the creek, bring your Bible. We are very interested to hear what God's Word has to say about all matters of life. And we're not so interested in the opinions and the traditions of men, not the rituals of men, but what does God's Word say? And so we're feasting on the Word of God together today as we journey through the book of 1 John. We find ourselves in chapter 3. Now, the first two chapters of 1 John deal with God is light. Chapter 3 and chapter 4, God is love. And we get to chapter 5, God is life. In Him we find life. So, God is light, the first two chapters. God has called us out of darkness. He reached down and He saved us. It wasn't we who saved ourselves. It's not our righteousness, but God, by His grace and His mercy, He saved us. He called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. And now that we've been saved, He's showing us how to walk in the light. We're walking in the light even as He is in the light. And so this book is written to believers, helping us understand how to walk in the light. And now we're talking about how God is love and how that changed everything. God's love has changed everything. His example, His love for us. And we can know that God is love. And then when we get to chapter 5, woo, God is life. He is our life. He's not a part of our life. He is our life. We're going to see statements like, He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have eternal life. And this life is found in Jesus Christ. And we lift up Jesus Christ today. But now we're in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 to the end of the chapter. And with this sweeping introductory statement, He introduces us to the love of God, the supreme sacrifice, and the example of Jesus Christ. And He makes this statement, "By this we know love." Now, the whole world ought to tune in because the world's always talking about love, singing about love, all the songs, whether you like rock and roll or country music, it's all about love. What's love got to do with it, right? I got to sing every once in a while just so they know not to put me in the choir on the stage singing. What's love got to do with it? Now, the world's version of love is not the same as God. The world's love is different. God's love spelled out for us here, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Read that love chapter, a good definition, a biblical definition of love. How do we know love? Well, God is love. And we see God speaking to the world about His love. He says, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, they will not perish, but they will have everlasting life." God's love for the people of the world. And then we can tell that God loves us. You can look at somebody and say, "I want you to know God loves you." How do I know God loves me? Listen, when you were at your worst, when you were in darkness, when you were in sin, the Bible says it this way, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God proved, God demonstrated His love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God has not withheld any good thing from you. God has given you His best, and you can trust God today. God gave you His best when you were at your worst, when you were in darkness, when you were in rebellion to God. God in His love reached down and He saved you. So by this we know love. How do we know love? Because God Himself laid down His life for us, not withholding any good thing. God loves you. You can't have a pity party today and say, oh, woe is me, my life is bad. Your life is not bad. God loves you. You don't need anything else. But the love of God and his love compelled him to action. It wasn't just a messenger sent saying, hey, by the way, I love you. God tells us he loves us, but God's love compelled him to action, and God paid the supreme price for us. God the Son laid down his life, and he died for us. Why did he do that? Well, the wages of sin is death. The penalty for sin is death, and it was an eternal penalty that needed to be paid to satisfy the violation of breaking God's law, God who is an eternal being, and yet God the Son died for you, and he satisfied God's wrath against your sin, the ultimate payment. So by this we know, because God the Son laid down his life for us. Now, he's called you to follow him. And if you're going to follow that example, notice now in turn he says, now be like me, follow my example. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. In other words, we are to sacrifice for the well-being of others. Are you willing to sacrifice for the well-being of others, brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, it may not be that supreme sacrifice. It may be in the daily needs you come across somebody who has a need. Notice what he says in verse 17. He says, but whoever has possession of, who owns, whoever has this world's goods, maybe material goods, money, a service, something you could do for somebody, whoever has this world's goods, and yet he sees his brother in need. The idea of seeing is that you perceive and you understand that there's a brother or sister in Christ that has a legitimate need. Now, I say that carefully here. There's a lot of people in the world today that would try to take advantage of the softness and the love of Christianity and love of believers to try to take advantage of that. And believers think, well, I'm just obligated just to empty my pockets, whatever that may be. And there's this idea of discernment. He sees, he understands that there is a brother or sister in Christ that has a legitimate need, and they have the ability to meet that need. So this is a way to demonstrate the love of God in a very practical way. Whoever has this world's goods, and yet he sees, he understands his brother has a legitimate need, and in turn, he shuts up his heart from him. He walks away from that need he could have met. Well, if that's what he does, how is it that the love of God is abiding in that person? Do you see what he's saying here? It's like, how can you say you've received the love of God and you love God when you have a practical application here and you could meet that legitimate need and you walk away from it? How is the love of God abiding in you if that's the case? Very reasonable. We would say, man, that's just lip service. You'll see somebody and you'll say, oh, wow, that's too bad. That's too bad. Hey, listen, keep me posted. I'll be praying for you, and you walk away. How is the love of God now? Remember the tenses, the Greek tenses that we looked at last time. How is the love of God continually abiding in you? I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it manifest itself. Now, he goes on and he says, so, my little children, let us not love simply in word or in tongue, just by talk. You've heard the expression, talk is cheap. Let us not love simply in word or in tongue, but let us love in deed and in truth. Let us be doers of the word. Let us love where the word and the deed become one, where it's no longer just lip service, but where lips and lifestyle come together. There we have genuine Christian love. Let us love that way. And when we love that way and the will of God is flowing in our lives, when we're abiding in him and walking in the light, then we can have confidence. Now, I want you to see what he says here in verse 19. He says, and by this we know. Now, you circle that word in your Bible. We know. You see, this word is very familiar to the Apostle John. It's very familiar. He's talking about here in 1 John, knowing having assurance and having confidence, we know that we're abiding in His will for our lives because we're walking in His truth. Now listen, how could you possibly have assurance of being part of the kingdom if you don't participate in the work of the kingdom? Then you're not going to have any confidence. You're going to be floundering. You're going to be wondering, how do I know? Am I in God's will? Because you're not doing anything. You're not tapped in and abiding continually into Jesus Christ. If you're abiding in Him and your roots are in Christ, then that fruit is going to manifest itself. And when that fruit is manifesting itself and you're abiding continually in the will of God, then there's this flow and you can have confidence and assurance of His coming again, and you're going to be found in Him and you're unashamed because you're abiding in His will, right? Now, it's tough when you're in the South. I'm going to try to make sure you guys understand what I'm saying. I'm saying in the will of God. Most of you guys from the South are saying, I'm in God's will. I'm in the will of God. You know, you move to the South and you're like, what is he? Is that Goodyear or Firestone, right? Yeah, abiding in the will of God. And then you go to places like India, and the translators know how to translate English, but they don't know how to translate Southern English, right? And so you're talking about how important it is to abide in God's will, and the translator's like, we, car? No. Oh, the will of God, yes. How many of you have moved down or at some point lived north of here? You've lived north of here? Yeah, okay. So it's like half of our congregation or more at one time has moved from north down here. And then we have the people that moved up from the South, and they're in here talking about the will of God, and everyone's going, huh? You need like a translator. You're speaking in tongues, that Southern language there. So imagine if this is the will of God here. God is calling us as we abide in Him to be in the center of His will and to obey and to honor, to walk with Him. And by this we know that we're of the truth, and He assures our hearts. Our hearts are assured before Him that we're in the will of God. That's that confidence that we have. But if you don't have that confidence because you're not in the will of God, then he says here in verse 20, he says, for if our hearts condemn us, man, you know, man, I should have been doing this. I had an opportunity here. I could have been, listen, don't waste your life. Don't waste those opportunities. As you're abiding in Him, you're going to walk in the will of God. And when you're walking in the will of God, your heart doesn't condemn you, going, man, I wasted an opportunity here. I could have been serving here using my spiritual gift. Man, I go to church. I don't even serve anywhere in church. I don't do anything. I don't give. I don't serve. Wait a second. Then your heart begins to condemn you, whether it's an opportunity you had or something in your parenting, in your marriage, whatever it was. How many of you, your hearts have just condemned you, you know? Wow, all three of us. Okay. You guys are all just me and you, our heart. Yeah, my heart is the conviction that we're outside of the will of God in our lives. And if our hearts condemn us, but listen, hey, God is greater than our hearts. It's not a loss of salvation, but it's the believer now needing to tap into the root, being rooted in Christ so that it transforms into that fruit that's in our lives. So he goes on now in verse 21. He says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, then we can have confidence toward God. Confidence that we're in His will, that we have eternal life. Now listen, it's not doing these social gospel things that save us. It's not by doing good works, not by helping believers in need. That doesn't save us. This is what we hit on last time. Those things don't save us, but once we get saved, the Bible says we're born again, we're new creations in Christ. Then the new believers called out of darkness, and we begin to walk in His light. And as we're rooted in Christ, that fruit shows up, and we're now doing those things that are pleasing to Him. And we can have confidence in Him. Now, doing those things that are pleasing to Him and having this confidence. And notice this now in verse 22. He says, and when we're there. You have to understand the context. When we're there walking in the light, whatever we ask, listen, whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Uh-oh. Man, that is a dangerous statement. If you take that statement out of context, man, you can just go anywhere, and believe me, a lot of preachers do, a lot of late night televangelists, they do that. This is where you get the prosperity gospel, that God wants you to be healthy all the time, rich all the time, that God's will for you is that those things are being lavished on you. Whatever you ask, you're going to receive it from Him. That's not the context. That's just simple name it and claim it, blab it and glab it, prosperity gospel. That's not true at all. Now, if we're abiding in Him, we can ask of Him. This reminds me of Psalm 37:4. Psalm 37, verse 4, many of you, it's one of your favorite Bible verses, and maybe you've committed it to memory. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I have to be honest. When I first read that, I misunderstood it. I misunderstood that. But what it's saying here is when we're delighting ourselves in God. Now, listen. When we're delighting ourselves in God and abiding in Him, walking in the light, when we're delighting ourselves in the Lord, comma, He's going to give us, that is to place within us, not our desires. He's going to give us His desires. He's going to give us the desires of our heart so that my desire, now that I'm abiding in Him and delighting in Him, my desire is actually His desire. And now I'm prepared to ask of Him. And this is called asking. Whatever you ask in my will, He is going to give it to you. So then, in prayer, that's what he's talking about, we ask of God, praying for the salvation of loved ones, praying for the provision of church plants in India, the team that's preparing to go to Ukraine, the great work that is developing in Haiti. And we're crying out and asking and appealing to God for His will to be done, to provide for. And God says when you're delighting in the Lord, He gives us the desires, those desires in our heart. We're asking in His will. And the answer is yes. Because we're seeking not to glorify ourselves, but we're seeking His glory. And the kingdom of God is advancing when we pray in His will. So this is the context when He says, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Because we're abiding in Him, praying for the salvation of loved ones. Now, I want to share a testimony with you. Man, I praise the Lord for all of our ministries here at the Creek. We have the greatest preschool ministry. We have the greatest children's middle ministry, the elementary grades, K through 5. And I praise the Lord. And our student ministry is outstanding. And there's a lot of prayers and a lot of tears and a lot of sacrifice and a lot of hard work and planning and thought. And I praise the Lord for Pastor Allen as he oversees these next generation ministries. And I praise the Lord for Evan, who leads our middle school ministry, and Ryan Guzowskis, formerly and affectionately known as Goose, as he leads our high school ministry. And they have a very challenging and difficult task. They come alongside and comfort and teach and admonish and rebuke and love on and pray for and encourage students in a very difficult season in life, especially in the world that we live in. And a father of one of our students wrote in, and I want to share that with you. He wrote it really speaking about Evan and Goose and the great work they're doing in our student ministry. And he says, I wanted to share a story from last night with you both, and I wanted to say thank you for doing such a great job, a job well done. I was privileged to listen to my daughter witness to her grandfather and help him to accept Christ. What a joy. I believe that this is the first time that she has witnessed to someone, and the training that she received through the ministries at the Creek were nothing short of amazing. I cannot emphasize enough as to what a difficult person her grandfather can be. He is a very bitter, hardened individual that has little to almost nil of a relationship with anyone. It is sad indeed. However, my daughter spoke with him over the phone, and she took the scripture verses that she learned, and she believed the gospel, believed it enough to share that. That's that reckless abandon. I just believe God. God wants me to share the gospel and share it with people you love, even if they're sometimes pretty difficult. And she led him through the scriptures, and she led him step by step, and finally praying with him as he accepted Jesus. I do not cry, hardly ever, but there were tears in my eyes. Her grandfather is in very poor health and not expected to live long, although he's been doing that for about a year. But I wanted to share the story with each of you as an encouragement for the job that you are doing in his name, the job that you are doing for his glory. It is working. Whatever it is that y'all are doing, keep doing it. It's working. My children have grown so much in their faith at Richland Creek. They absolutely love going to church. Thanks to all the staff, but especially to you two for this situation. You guys are awesome. And I know Goose is back there, and we love all you guys. I want to give Goose and Evan. And for Pastor Allen and for all of our small group leaders in the student ministry elementary, you guys are investing in things that are eternal. And this is the things that we're praying for and asking God for. I praise God for the work, which is not easy. It's not easy, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so whatever we ask, we receive from him. And because we keep his commandments, that speaks of obedience. And listen, we do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And listen, when you walk out of here, we're about to close. Listen, in a few minutes, when you walk out of here, I hope that you can read this passage. It's God's word. His desire and how you can glorify God with your life. Don't waste your life. Read this verse and say, that's me. I'm going to claim this before God. It's his will. And I'm going to ask God to help me so that I do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Not only lip service. Yes, God, I love you. But we remember that he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. And so James reminds us in James chapter 1, verse 22, don't just simply be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Put your faith into action. Put your words into action. And my prayer is that every one of you would go, man, that's me. Man, I'm going to resolve today that as I make my decisions, as I live my life, I'm going to do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Building each other up, encouraging us. Why would you tear down the work of God that he's doing? Instead, be a builder. Invest your life into the kingdom of God. Not temporary things, but eternal things that have great and weighty substance. Do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Then in verse 23, and this is really, verse 23, verse 24, really just summarizing the entire epistle, this entire letter that he wrote. He says, and this is his commandment. Man, I read that, I kind of sit up and I'm like, all right, this is the commandment. Write it down. What is it? Work in the preschool ministry, stack chairs. I mean, there's got to be something I'm about to do here. And he says, and this is his commandment. What? That we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Man, that just summarizes that. They were asking Jesus in the Gospel of John, what is the work of God that we might do? The work of God, what is it? And Jesus said, the work of God is this, that you might believe on the one he has sent. You see, because it's all going to flow out of this. If you'll believe God, and I want to tell you, you can believe God today. You can trust God. He hasn't held anything back from you. God loves you. God has never lied to you. God has been good to you. God's ways are good, and you can trust him today. And you can believe him. And it all starts here. Listen, if we started and I said, hey, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stack chairs, and I want you to go love your enemies, and I want you to go love lost people. Man, you might muster up some energy and do that for a season or so, but then, man, that could just fade away because you're doing that in your own strength. But listen, if you'll love God, delighting in Him, abiding continually in Him. If you'll love God and believe God, that love of God, you're going to start loving what God loves. And God loves people. God loves lost people coming to salvation. He loves it when you're the hands and the feet of God. And so when you're tapped into God, you're going to love God. Watch this. And then you're going to love people. This is where he goes next. He says that we should believe and trust in Jesus Christ and, watch how this flows, and love one another. Loving each other. Hey, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. You get, some people said, hey, man, I moved here. There's a family that says, hey, we moved from Las Vegas. We don't know anybody. I want to tell you, hey, here's your family. Love. Love one another. Taking care of one another. Love one another as he has given us commandment. Love God. Love people. And then notice what he says in verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandments. And you're going, see, there it is. It's legalism. It's keeping the commandment. No, that's not legalism. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. This isn't legalism driven. This is love driven. This is not religion. This is the relationship. And Jesus says, if you love me, now watch how this flows. Love God, love people. And if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. You're going to do those things that are pleasing to me. And when you do this, when you're abiding in him, and that's flowing, by this we can know. This is the purpose of this letter, having assurance of our salvation. And by this we know that he is abiding in us continually, and we're abiding in him. And he gives us the Holy Spirit. When we got saved, the Holy Spirit is deposited into us, and his Spirit is testifying with our spirit that we are the children of God. We're walking in his will, abiding in him. Love God, love people, keep the commands. He's summarizing here what it looks like, and we can have assurance because of the Spirit he has given to us. Amen and amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us today. And I pray that we would consider these words and not forget. Pray that we would not simply be hearers of the words, but that we would be doers. And I pray that the weightiness of these words that are written to us in love as the family of God would impact our lives. How could we possibly look at a brother or sister who has a legitimate need and walk away if we have the ability to meet that need? And so, Lord, as you have loved us and laid down your life for us, we too ought to love one another. And when we're loving one another, not indifferent, but when we love one another, we can have great confidence that we are in your will. And when we are in your will, we can ask whatever it is, and we can receive it. Lord, I pray that we would abide in you and have confidence that when you return, that we're going to be found in you, that we don't have to have our hearts condemning us, but when we're walking and abiding in your will, Lord, we can see you working through us as we love you, as we love one another, and as we keep your commands. God, use us to accomplish great and amazing things. Father, use us to glorify your name, not ours. Lord, use us to accomplish your work and your will, not ours. Lord, let us not waste our lives. Father, I pray that we would resolve today to make the most of every opportunity as we're abiding in you, that we would do the things that are pleasing in your sight. Lord, hear our prayer. Work effectively in our lives to bring this about. And I pray each person in here would agree with your word today and desire that to be a reality. Father, I thank you for this rich word of scripture that we've heard today and we've looked at together. So now bring it to life. Apply it in our lives, oh God, as we surrender to you as your children. We pray all of this in the matchless name of our great God and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.